God our Father, and from the Son Jesus Christ, our Lord and our risen Savior. Amen. Our text for this morning is the reading of this story, Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Dear Christian friends, it is often about this time of the year, although from my discussions with many of my friends, it seems to express earlier this time, that members of our campus, specifically students, are attacked by a disease that we could call Coupe syndrome. The characteristics are fairly obvious. The lack of concentration in your classes, or even skipping them altogether. Discovering new ways to avoid doing your classwork. Or even a new intensity in the level of complaining about any topic that comes up before you. It seems that for this condition, whole life is the only cure, otherwise known as summer vacation. There is not much for us to worry about when we have this disease. No motivation, no enthusiasm could be serious problems for the seminary students, because if the Word of God is not in itself enough to stir the souls of all of us, then all of us are wasting our time at this institution. Of course, this problem is not a recent phenomenon. It is as old as Adam and Eve, and it has affected every man, woman, and child ever to walk the face of this earth. Even though it is our sinful self that leads us down this sinless path, we may end up creating ourselves and asking, why me, Lord? The scripture is packed full of examples to strengthen and build us up as we come. Such is the case today with our text of Philip and the Ethiopian. If one would give a quick reading of these verses from Acts, a person might feel that the Ethiopian was experiencing a total conversion experience. But when we examine our text a little more closely, you see that this man was not suddenly converted. It took work by Philip and by, more importantly, the Holy Spirit. Here we can discuss with Philip and the baptism that took place in very quick sequence. He had long been searching for God. He had made a religious pilgrimage that not only cost him much money, but took much time. By occupation, the Ethiopian was the highest monetary officer for the kingdom. Today we would call him the Secretary of the Treasury or the Director of the Federal Reserve. Acts also makes a point in saying that he was a eunuch. By Oriental tradition, a eunuch was in charge of royal harem, castrated so he could not father any children by the king's wife. But the word eunuch also has a much more generalized meaning, a royal agent, a steward, an overseer. This picture makes it clear to us that this man was a man of distinction and intelligence. Now, making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem was no simple task for him. Over desert and mountain, he traveled 1,200 miles or more. With dust and paved roads and the danger of robbers, he obviously had a strong desire to come to Jerusalem. He traveled in spirit. Not the type of spirit we think of with flashing knives on the wheel, but a covered carriage protecting him from the sun. Also, he had time to read as he was traveling along because he was not driving. Without the help of Philip, the Ethiopian might well have returned to his homeland, little changed by his own pilgrimage. He had worshipped. He was himself. He had found new insights for living. But he would not have known how God had intervened in history, how God had sent his own son to all men. That was the assignment God gave to Philip. What happened in this incident was more important than to whom it had happened. That God continues to come to men down through the ages, and that it still happens today to us, is even more important. This is where we come in. No matter what you think, what you say, or what you do, if the amazing acts of God are not in the forefront of it all, then we are interfering with God's plan of salvation for everyone. It is a miracle. The miracle that God does come, that he continues to reveal himself, even to those who may not seem to be eager to welcome him, using us as his mouthpieces. Ethiopian was already satisfied. To his own mind, he had already found God. As a matter of fact, he is now even reading God's word. But the knowledge of God and our relations with him are never so good that they cannot become better. The Ethiopian was struggling within himself to find the God, the Father, the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He had not yet come to know the Christ, who was flesh of his flesh and bone of his own bone, on whom he had a special claim by their common humanity and their common friendship under the God. Even though he was reading God's word, he did not totally understand all that was before him. At this point, the Holy Spirit came in, working as he often did, through a human agent such as Philip. The man of God went right to work. He did not need to talk about the temple in Jerusalem, or the weather, or even the politics in Ethiopia. The iron was hot and needed striking. He was a man who knew the God of the Jews, but had not yet come to know the God who came to live as a Jew among the Jews. And here it says, tying the Old Testament to the New. He was first putting the Word of God into action, making it fit the individual child of God. He needed no press purpose to expound his ideas, only an easy tongue and an easy ear. And also, he identified that Lamb that was before the tears as the Christ, the Messiah Isaiah had foretold. Here was the suffering servant. Here was the one who gave up his life for us. Philip doubtlessly had been moved by the events he himself had experienced in the last few months. The Messiah had really come. He really had died. He really had risen. He really had ascended. The Holy Spirit really had visited the faithful on that first Pentecost. Stephen really had died for his witnessing, and now all the other faithful were weighing the dangers of further witnessing. But for Philip, there was no second thought. The angel of the Lord had picked him for this mission. When the Word of God is preached in all truth and purity, the result can be staggering on a person with an open heart. There is conviction, faith, persuasion, and new life. One can always sense the excitement there in the carriage bouncing down that dusty road. Who is happier, Philip or the Ethiopian? In the past, the man from Africa has found intellectual comfort in the faith he found among the people of God. But now, he had found a living Savior. Perhaps Philip had even told him of Pentecost, of the mass baptism, and of the tongues of fire. In any case, the Ethiopian wanted baptism, and Philip was eager to do it. Philip did bestow on his new friend the blessing of being born again as a child of God. That was the climax of the events of that day, the waiting, the reading, the talking, and finally, the acting. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian is more than just a story of conversion. It is a total reflection of God's full plan of salvation. It demonstrates the power of His Word and how He uses all to be bearers of that Word, and not only bearers, but also doers. As the spring wears on for all of us, and the cloud of apathy gets farther over our heads, let us keep in mind the example we have set before us in Philip. Just as God used him to further the work of the kingdom, so also we are put to use in a similar way. Therefore, it is certain when we contract the sickness of who cares, the result will be that we hinder, we interfere, and we even stop the work of God and all His favors. Maybe we could say that Philip is lucky at being at the right place at the right time. Even so, though, Philip showed us one thing that we cannot forget. He was prepared and willing to do the work of the Lord. As we finish our work for this quarter and start thinking about what lies ahead for all of us, we must become more like Philip and make the moments of life more meaningful for us, for God. Instead of saying, "Who cares?" how about saying, "I care because God cares." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.